AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A few weeks ago, President Biden expected to accept the nomination for another term as president at the Democratic National Convention. Instead, he is handing off to Vice President Kamala Harris. He will speak on Monday as ABC's Mary Alice Parks as Democrats try to adjust to the new candidate.
My sources close to the convention describe three big goals. They say they have a moment here to reintroduce Kamala Harris to the country, introduce, of course, Governor Walz. The other two goals are actually tricky. They want to talk about what the Biden-Harris administration has gotten done, but also show that Harris has a big vision of her own. And it's going to be tough for them to get that balance right.
Former President Donald Trump holds a rally today in Wilkes-Barre in northeast Pennsylvania. In the Middle East, mediators are hopeful that a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is close after 2 days of talks. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is traveling to the region. This is ABC News. The CDC is out with a warning for families who keep small turtles as pets.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have linked a multi-state outbreak of salmonella to small turtles. More than 50 people have gotten sick and at least 23 of them had to be treated at a hospital. Turtles with shells less than 4 inches long are a known source of salmonella as well as other illnesses, especially in young children. There is a federal ban on the sale and distribution of turtles less than 4 inches. But they're sometimes sold illegally online at stores, flea markets, and roadside stands. Dave Packer, ABC News.
A Missouri woman's been charged in federal court with aggravated identity theft and mail fraud. Authorities say Lisa Finley schemed to steal Graceland from Elvis Presley's descendants and defraud them out of millions. The Justice Department says Finley falsely claimed that Lisa Marie Presley pledged the home as collateral for a loan she did not pay off before her death. I'm Brian Clark. ABC News.
This fall, Wisconsin voters will cast critical votes for U.S. Senate, determining the direction of our state and nation on important issues. The ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants voters to make an informed decision in the U.S. Senate election. Abortion is at stake in this election. On abortion rights, what have Senate candidates Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde said? Here's Eric Hovde.
I am a strong believer in pro-life. I am totally opposed to abortion.
And this interview.
Do you think Roe versus Wade should be overturned?
Yes.
Here's Tammy Baldwin.
I want women to decide.
And
I am pro-choice.
And
I lead the effort to restore Roe versus Wade to our national laws.
In their own words, Tammy Baldwin supports abortion rights while Eric Hovde opposes abortion rights.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500, not authorized by a candidate or candidate's committee.
I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WMDX website at mad.radio. For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new study from Georgetown University shows the best jobs in the future will go to the people with the highest degrees. Will Waukee reports.
Researchers found that 85% of good jobs will go to people with bachelor's degrees or other forms of post-secondary training by 2031. Report author Artem Gulish with the Georgetown Center on Education and the Workforce says even traditional blue-collar work, such as construction, will increasingly require apprenticeships or courses in fields like machinery and tech.
While those jobs are going to be growing, in part because of the infrastructure investments that the federal government and state governments have been making in recent years, those opportunities are going to be shifting to middle skills.
Gulish says a good job pays a minimum of $43,000 a year for workers between ages 25 and 44. He says over time it will be more challenging for those with only high school degrees to earn that salary. In general, college enrollment of young people is actually declining, especially among men. Gulish says the future labor market is not set in stone, especially as technologies such as artificial intelligence keep evolving. But having a post-secondary degree will often make you more employable.
The future does not look like the present, so having that ability to adapt and learn and upskill and reskill and pick up new skills will definitely be beneficial.
Georgetown's report found that there will be more good jobs on the market by 2031 compared to now. That's partly because policymakers are facing pressure to deliver higher job quality rather than just lower unemployment. I'm Will Walkie. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Conversations and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy, 77 today with a chance of an afternoon shower or storm. For tonight, mostly cloudy, some patchy fog, a low of 61. Sunday, sunshine and a high near 82. For Monday, sunny and 80. Tuesday, sunshine and highs back near 80.
Currently, 69 degrees.
On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, you're tuned in to 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, on the Black Conversion Show with my cousin.
Favorite cousin, Clyde, and I'm back.
Okay, whatever. I don't know if he's my favorite. He's the one I love to hate.
People was filling my job in and stuff. Yeah,
whatever. Well, April's coming back, too, so April Kageyev.
We'll see.
Shout out to you for showing up for the no-show co-host Clyde, who don't call in. He's a no-call, no-show type of host. I swear.
I was on vacation, y'all. Dang.
You can't have a job and not tell your job you're going on
vacation. That's true. I pulled a Luke.
Luke did go on vacation without us, didn't he?
He did. I told you, though. I'm almost positive I told you that we did not.
I don't remember. Yeah. We just showed up and we was like, where's Luke?
I walked past the man like, who is this?
This show got recorded. We were all good.
It's not the same.
Look, I know, right?
It's not the same. You interact with us. You know us.
I received a compliment saying that, I don't know if the term was like thrown around or not, but me as the resident white guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a compliment about that.
Good. Yeah, because we were like, where's our white guy at? Yeah. This isn't the same white guy.
I thought the man, another white guy was going to walk here and say, we have to let Lou go. I was like, wait, what?
It's true, but we're so happy to be here with you this morning.
Yes.
I'm excited to have Cuzzo Clyde back. We have so much to catch up on, so much tea, because y'all know we like the tea. And then we like to talk from a perspective of our opinions, because that's all that really matters. Okay?
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
If you're a new listener to the Black Conversion Show, I am Brandi Grayson, the founder and CEO of Urban Triage.
Yes.
Check us out. And Cousin Clyde, who the heck are you?
I am the founder and CEO of the House Urban Arts Initiative.
Hey.
Two big bosses in the building. Big B's.
I don't know about big boss. I'm a middle boss.
Man, listen.
On the food chain.
This is my mentor, okay? I'm her mentee. That's how big she
that
is.
That don't
right?
say a lot for him.
Because we're thriving and striving.
But thank you for tuning in. And Urban Triage is a nonprofit organization centering vulnerable families. The work that we do is rooted in homeless work, housing work, and transformative education. Mm-hmm. We also run a farm, and we teach people how to farm. We teach people how to enter agriculture fields to make money, because we're also all about economic empowerment. Clyde, what do you do? Like, what does your...
At the House, Inc., our mission is to provide performing art technical classes and trainings to Black and brown youth and adults.
Yeah.
We kind of lean in on just what it is to serve vulnerable families, and that comes with a lot. So...
A lot of politics.
Yes.
So we are one of a kind together, and we're also the folks that people love to hate, because y'all know y'all love us and hate us at the same time. Like, oh, I love what you do, and
just
I hate
touch
you.
Just touch us.
I hate that you're always speaking your truth. I hate that you actually have an opinion.
Yeah.
And I hate that you don't fit into the social constructs that we gave you here
in Madison, Wisconsin. Yes.
So I think we make a perfect pair, and as long as Clyde shows up for work. We'll be all right. So what we like to do to start off our show is to talk about love. Because love is so political. And
it is.
For us, Clyde, as a queer guy, do you identify as a queer guy? How do you identify?
A black man first.
A black man first. Okay.
A sissy second.
A sissy. I'm not repeating that. Wait, Luke, can we say sissy on air?
Let's check.
I'm gonna have to double check.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think we're okay. Then.
Politically correct. I'm a queer man second, I guess.
Okay, because I'm like, I don't know if gay dudes. Is it politically correct for you to walk
gay
around?
Gay dudes can say that, right? They it's just say- like black folks saying the N.
Okay, you can say
the N A word, right?
Okay, but I can't say it. Right?
It depends. I gotta take you to the basement.
So
first.
We know Luke can't say it.
I was gonna say I'm definitely Luke, not. I'm not. Nope.
Luke, as your whiteness, you know, is always
if
first.
Luke called me a sissy.
Yeah. What will happen, Luke? If
I'm
you call,
cry.
You gonna cry, Luke? Like, he's not your friend anymore.
Yes, like Luke a sissy.
I wouldn't do that though. That's Look not. That's voice. Not something I would do.
His voice got all empathetic. Yeah. I wouldn't
See, this,
do
I
that though.
Luke. Okay. I love him.
Okay, so what in black love or love period are we going to focus on today? And for our listeners, you are tuned in to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show.
Yes. Today we have three topics. Okay. One is interracial relationships.
Ooh, that is a touchy one.
A touchy one, but we're going to touch
and
on it.
We about to touch on black and white people dating. Because yes. You know, that's what we mean. We don't mean Asian and black, brown and
we're
black.
We're here to educate you, you know. We're here to give you what we got.
I'm about to pee off Clyde, though, because, you know, we have different opinions. About interracial
we do.
Relationships. And we watch do. What these statistics say, though. Go ahead,
and
Clyde.
The second one we're going to talk about is poly relationships and monogamous relationships. So let's get right into it because we ain't got that much time.
Okay, so let's start with interracial relationships and
you
love.
You go first, Bookie.
Whatever. So I have this stance that I take on interracial relationships, and it might offend people, but that's what this show is about. It's about offending you. So if you're listening, keep listening. If I haven't offended you yet, I will. Mm-hmm. So part of my analysis. I'm not going to say believe. I haven't really dated outside of my race, except for when I was younger. Because when you're young, you experiment. And I experiment a lot. And that's none of your business what I experimented with. However, I did, you know, date a couple white dudes. And I got to say, like, I wasn't serious about them because when I was 20 years old dating, everything was for fun. I never, even though people were like, I love you, I'd be like, so what? It doesn't matter. So it really wasn't that serious. But what I think about interracial relationships, I think the dynamics are different when it's a black woman and a white man.
Okay.
And I also think it's different when it's a white woman and a black man. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say this is because when you bear children, when you have children, the predominant person or the person that does most of the child rearing and kind of like the values and the, you know, just the way the kids, you know, interact in the world, from my perspective, is the mother. The mother's the one that's kind of the nurturing one, the one who provides the, almost like the intelligence, because I think science says that you get your intelligence from your mom, okay? Because women rock. And then we also provide kind of like the social context. We talk about, we're more likely. This isn't an absolute statement because I know you guys be like, that's not true for everybody. It's not an absolute statement. I'm just saying that generally speaking, women are the ones that may talk to their kids about misogyny, patriarchy, feminism, white supremacy, racism, the dynamics. So black women are more likely to install or direct their children in the pathway of their identity. So if they have a white father, they're still going to show up in the world as a most likely, not absolute, most likely identifying as a black child. Because they represent and reflect their mother, right?
I see where you're going.
And then if you have a white woman who has black children and biracial children, they
and raise
don't,
them. Those kids grow up to be white women.
So you see how he took it to extreme. So what I was going to say is they will reflect their mother's values. So they will often interact in the world. Even if they say, I'm black, they will often interact in the world like Clyde said, as
like
a white woman. Yeah, and if it's a male identifying child or young adult or whatever, that person will then identify with white values, right? And not and
he's still a white woman.
Okay. So I'm gonna let go ahead, Clyde. Your thoughts.
So
interracial dating
gonna get the whole 5 minutes because I kind of see where this is going. It makes sense. It does make sense. And so I get it when you're saying, so for me, my stance on it is I do value black people.
Yes.
And I think that the building up of black families are so important, especially now, right? Yeah. Like diversity is a huge thing. But living in Madison, Wisconsin, what I have found out is that diversity just has not worked for the favor of black people.
Okay.
And so I always strongly encourage black men to date black women or mm-hmm. black women to date black men.
Uh-huh.
My thing here is all of what Brandy said is correct. But what we have here is that when folks are dating outside of their race, that person also becomes that race.
See,
for some reason.
I don't believe all of that. Mm. I don't believe black women are around here becoming white men.
Oh, they becoming white women. Because... Baby, I was somewhere the other day, Hobby Lobby, and this is going to take me 30 seconds, I promise. Hobby Lobby, uh-huh. there was a white man and a black woman. Uh-huh. You could tell that they were dating. There uh-huh. was an elder white woman who had a service dog.
Uh-huh.
And the service dog kind of walked up to the couple.
Uh-huh.
And the way the sister and this man treated that dog, I looked at the sister like, wait a minute, we don't treat dogs like that.
What
like
you
this.
Mean? Did she let them lick them in the mouth?
No. The dog just walked up to them, and they were...
I love dogs.
Baby,
now.
This was a little
Chihuahua.
Yes, little tiny service dog.
Uh-huh.
They were acting as if it was a lion. Like, oh my God, don't let the dog get by us.
Oh,
and the old lady was just sitting
weird.
There looking, and I was just looking at the sister like, why is she acting like that?
So you mean that's a white trait to not yeah. like dogs?
Not to not like dogs.
White people love
but
dogs.
But to treat an okay, elder
they love
person.
Animals.
Yes, but to treat an elder person with a service dog like that, I just feel like black folks are very way more compassionate than that.
Yeah, you.
And she was like, ill, get your dog, woo, woo, woo. And I was like, I thought she would have calmed the white husband down, like, relax, baby. It's just a little dog.
Okay, so that doesn't prove your point.
Kalani. It does.
It does not prove your point at all about interracial dating.
It was an example of how when black folks date white folks, they start to act like they better than everybody around them.
Because of the dog. Okay, so mm-hmm. I'm going to need a better example mm-hmm. of that theory that you're holding
dogs
here.
Matter.
But white people love dogs, Clyde.
Right.
They will put you in jail and under the boat yeah. for a dog.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
and,
true.
And for a black person, they will not give the same attention
treatment.
Or treatment as they would, or protection
yeah.
as they would for a dog. So that theory you have is out the door. Okay, listeners, I do not concur with Cousin Clyde on that.
Sister, don't be treating dogs like that, period.
Okay, so we're talking about love here, right? Because uh-huh. love is political. And when we talk about interracial dating, you know, my perspective is black women should be able to, because I'm biased, black women should be able to date whoever we want because we...
Only black women.
But I'm talking from a black perspective. I ain't got no say-so about brown women, Asian women, anybody in between.
So black women should be able to date white men.
Yep. We sure should. And wait till we get to these statistics because I'm about to drop some statistics
go,
on you. Because
we got a little bit of time and we're going to let
right
this
now,
take
when
up
we
our time.
No, when we come back because you're going to be mad when the statistics show.
So black men can't date white women?
Black men can date whoever they want. I'm
okay.
saying that the impact on rearing children and having white women rear children who don't have experiential experience being black usually leads to more harm to the child. They have identity issues. They don't know if they black or white.
They don't know how to fit in.
They don't know how to comb their hair. They mm-hmm. don't know how to take care of their skin. They don't know how to be in black spaces. I've had the most trouble as a nonprofit leader with biracial women raised by white women. Mm. And I say that because our organization talks a lot about race and we touch a lot about accountability and awareness. And they act like white women. They're very fragile. They have breakdowns. They complain like Karens when it comes to accountability. And then
Ooh.
They go into the world and say, oh, she did this thing. And they see me as a black, dark-skinned leader as the same way as their mother would. They're very intimidated by
yeah.
me, uncomfortable by me, as if when I'm with black women raised, biracial women raised by black women,
yeah.
their response to me is different. Do you mm-hmm. understand? So we can get onto this in a minute. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show, your favorite hostess with the mostest and my...
favorite Cousin Clyde.
I love me some Cousin Clyde. So stay tuned to 92.7 FM WMDX. We'll be back in a gist.
See you in a minute.
I look fly, I look good. You can't touch my back, but you could. I look fly, I look too good. Put that on my mama, on my hood. I look fly.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend, access to emergency medical care, and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights. Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, right on time. Beyonce bring you back. You're tuned into 92.7 FM, the Black Convergence Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, and Cousin Clyde. Cousin Clyde like to talk whenever, so you just got to excuse him. You know what I'm saying? But Beyonce got me back excited.
Okay.
Beyonce makes everything right and tight, okay? Including your abs. Okay, anyway. So before we went on break, we were talking about interracial dating. And I want to let y'all be... Come on, Luke, just play the clip. Y'all got to hear the statistics with interracial dating and marriage, really. It's about marriage.
And where these statistics come from?
I don't know, some white man. So if a white man said it, it got to be true. It got to be true. Okay, Luke, go ahead with the statistics. We Google it.
Interesting statistic. White guys view black women differently than black guys. And these statistics don't lie. Interracial divorce rates. This is pretty interesting. A black man and a white woman are 200% more likely to be divorced. An Asian man and a white woman are 59% more likely to be divorced. An Asian woman and a white man are 4% more likely to be divorced. But this is the crown of the study. A white man and a black woman are 44% less likely to get divorced.
Okay.
Pretty interesting, isn't it?
Pretty interesting.
My sister, here's an interesting statistic. White guys.
Okay, let's talk about this, okay? Because
44% to 59%.
Less likely to get a divorce. So black women do better marrying, or not do better, because that's a whole jump there. However, clap face. Wait a minute.
And that is from an account called Red Flag Awareness.
Red Flag Awareness. So Google it.
Yep.
Google it,
y'all. It's a red flag. But we listening. Let's go.
So black women are less likely to get a divorce when they marry white men. Now, let's break this down. And this is going to be opinion-based. I ain't did no experiments and asked no surveys or quantified nothing.
But we're going to figure it out.
But this is what I think. As a black woman, I think that when black women marry white men, one, there's not the trauma from the man, right? So black people, generally speaking, come with a lot of trauma and a lot of healing we need to do in order to be in healthy relationship with each other. And there's a lot of stuff we have to work through. And when you're with a white man, that white man ain't got to work through none of that trauma. That white man is considered...
A support system.
And he is the symbol of malehood and maleness. That is the that is the reference point we all use to identify and to demonstrate what manness is. And and it is the prototype of white men. And that's because we exist in white supremacy. So from this perspective of the black woman, she's been wanting this prototype of a man all her life.
Yeah.
And a black man could never live up to that prototype.
I don't know about that.
Well, because the black man isn't allowed to. They don't have the privilege, the influence, or the power. Even when that black man becomes Jay-Z,
you still
can't go in any room and get your and go take $1 billion and invest. They will move against you.
Yeah,
you still don't have the respect in the business industry, even when you're a billionaire or millionaire. Yeah. And they've talked about this. I've watched podcasts with them and how they've had to have $5 billion to enter this hedge fund.
Yeah.
And they will like block them.
Yeah.
But you with a white man,
but that's not the black man's fault.
No,
right?
No, this isn't about fault. This is just about what it is.
And we need our sisters to be a little bit more sensitive to that.
Okay, yeah. So we need to go get in that conversation. Yeah, so what I'm saying is that when a black woman...
We about to get a divorce.
Okay, fine, Cousin Clyde. I mean, you my cousin anyway, so I don't know if it's legal for us to be married, okay? But we talk about that in a minute. So
go ahead.
I think because of that, like, a white man can be the prototype of a male because that's what's been indoctrinated in our head.
Yeah.
And that is the construct that we've been fed through white supremacy.
Correct.
And the black woman, in my opinion, has always, you know, we're fierce, we're confident, and whatever you give to us, we will multiply, okay?
Yeah.
So if you give us a home, we're going to make it more than a house, okay?
Yeah.
You give us children, we're going to give you an army, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you give us wealth and success, then we're going to take something and invest it and do something really dope.
And build an empire.
Because we're going to build an empire.
Yeah.
So I think for, and white women, I don't know y'all like that. I only know y'all from the perspective of working in politics mm-hmm. and Karens, right? And the white gays and social works mm-hmm. and in places and industry where y'all caused a lot of harm.
Yeah.
Excuse me, to black bodies and innocent and vulnerable people. So how I register and read white women is y'all always want more, right?
Yeah.
You always want more. And I don't
it's
know
if they're... It's never enough.
It's never enough. So I don't know if they back in their white husbands like black women are, because we're just excited to have the respect and the access to influence and power. So I think that dynamic is different. Now, I'm not judging it and saying it's right or wrong. I'm just simply explaining my analysis around the dynamic. Okay, Cousin Clyde, go ahead. What's your opinion?
So to piggyback off of that
dynamic. So you're listening to Black Conversion Show, 92.7 FM, with your Cousin Clyde and Brandy Grayson. We're talking about the statistics that basically say black women stay married to white men longer than anybody else. So, Cousin Clyde, what's your opinion on that?
Black women dating white men longer than anybody else. You know what? I don't know. I feel like I agree with what you said. You are correct, right? I do think that black women, because they're just socially, how can I say, programmed to support, bend a little bit, sometimes bend a lot.
We are conditioned to bend a lot for our man.
And I think,
our men, yes, we are.
And I think that when a black woman gets with a black man, mm-hmm. she has to still do that work.
We do, but it's a different kind of bending.
Yeah,
we're bending and we're not getting the support because they're so broken and damaged.
Yeah.
And we've been raised to be the backbone of our families, our children, and everything.
And so then when they, like you said, when they get with a white man, it's really none of that, right? Mm-hmm. He comes with that social power. He comes mm-hmm. with that family
privilege,
support system.
Yep.
And the white woman actually gets to breathe. And
the black woman.
Yeah, the black woman mm-hmm. actually gets to breathe. And that takes away those stressors. That takes away those, let's get to the divorce table.
Yeah,
it helps her build an empire.
Right, build an empire. And I think, too, when black men do have privilege and influence and class, and black women, you know, are part of that development and building that empire. The statistics show what? Just assume. What do they show? Once the black man gets to where they are,
or he drops the sister
and gets a white woman.
Yeah.
Kanye told y'all that in the song.
Yeah. We see it. We see it all
and
the
time. And what did Kanye do?
Yeah.
Kanye West went, dropped his black woman,
uh-huh.
and got with him a Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
That might have been one of the smartest moves. So that might not be a good reference point, because I think Kim helped build his empire.
She did.
Because that
Kim was a very supportive wife.
How you know that?
Watching the Kardashians, girl. I follow the Kardashians. I did not listen.
Clyde was keeping up. He was keeping up with the Kardashians.
I swear, I used to like envy them like everybody else, right?
Uh-huh.
And then when I finally started watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians last year,
uh-huh.
them girls is actually down to earth.
They down to earth.
Is really, yes. Like, people look at them wrong, but they actually got
them kids. Girl, them biracial kids
now,
gonna
them
be
kids
a hot
gonna be trouble.
Mess.
The kids gonna be trouble.
Them kids
but
gonna
sisters,
be in the world doing all kind of crazy stuff.
I love how the mother has built their sisterhood. Those girls are tight and they stick together. Mm-hmm. And when they go through adversity, oh, they stick together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, nope, we all gonna huddle up and lead the world up out of it. So I liked that about the Kardashians.
Yeah. Forget the Kardashians. Back to black people.
Hey,
so
Kim.
I think what we have to really do in our relationships with each other, black male and black woman, or they or them together, is that we really have to be conscious of our own pain and our trauma, and
yeah.
we have to do our work individually. And
yeah.
you have to make a decision, because you can't turn a boy into a husband.
Yeah.
And I think too many black women are spending too much time.
You can't turn a girl into a wife.
You cannot. And that's right. You cannot. So I say this to y'all. Find you someone who already is committed to doing the work and know that they mm-hmm. have work to do.
Yeah.
And if they don't have those attributes, leave them alone.
Yeah.
Because I love my man and I'm here to support him. But baby, if he don't do
too.
The work, I'm out. Peace, love, and hair grease. Okay. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandy Grayson and Cousin Clyde. We'll be back with some more tea in a jiff. You say I'm gonna be single.
on State Street or hanging out on the lakes. Thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A few weeks ago, President Biden expected to accept the nomination for another term as president at the Democratic National Convention. Instead, he is handing off to Vice President Kamala Harris. He will speak on Monday as ABC's Mary Alice Parks as Democrats try to adjust to the new candidate.
My sources close to the convention describe three big goals. They say they have a moment here to reintroduce Kamala Harris to the country, introduce, of course, Governor Walz. The other two goals are actually trickier. They want to talk about what the Biden-Harris administration has gotten done, but also show that Harris has a big vision of her own. And it's going to be tough for them to get that balance right.
Former President Donald Trump holds a rally today in Wilkes-Barre in northeast Pennsylvania. In the Middle East, mediators are hopeful that a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is close after 2 days of talks. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is traveling to the region. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Packers had their joint practice session. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers squared off in a practice with the Broncos yesterday before their preseason game tomorrow night. Broncos head coach Sean Payton on how his first-round rookie quarterback, Bo Nix, looked against Green Bay's defense.
His decision-making was good. I felt he was comfortable in the pocket. Thought his locations were good. You know, the number one thing to do with quarterback is lead your team.
Packers defensive back Jair Alexander.
You know, I think there's things we could have been better at. But all in all, this is what we do it for. We do it to improve.
Baseball, the Brewers with a 5-3 win over the Guardians. The crew now with a 10-game lead in their division with just 40 regular season games left to play. Christian Yelich with a message to fans after having season-ending back surgery in Milwaukee on Friday.
It sucks. It's terrible, but these things happen. You get hurt, you get fixed, and you get back out there. Try to stay as positive as possible about it. It's going to be for the best. It's a positive short-term, terrible long-term. Like, it's going to be all right.
That's Christian Yelich with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy, 77 today with a chance of an afternoon shower or storm. For tonight, mostly cloudy, some patchy fog, a low of 61. Sunday, sunshine and a high near 82. For Monday, sunny and 80. Tuesday, sunshine and highs back near 80.
Right now, 71 degrees.
The Democratic National Convention is in Chicago, and our team will be there to tell you what you need to know. I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
And I'm Todd Allball, host of The Todd Allball Show. Count on us for important analysis, interviews, and the Democrats' nomination of their presidential candidate.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Listen for updates, plus special coverage at 6 each night. Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This fall, Wisconsin voters will cast critical votes for U.S. Senate, determining the direction of our state and nation on important issues. The ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants voters to make an informed decision in the U.S. Senate election. Abortion is at stake in this election. On abortion rights, what have Senate candidates Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde said? Here's Eric Hovde.
I am a strong believer in pro-life. I am totally opposed to abortion.
And this interview.
Do you think Roe versus Wade should be overturned?
Yes.
Here's Tammy Baldwin.
I want women to decide.
And
I am pro-choice.
And
I lead the effort to restore Roe versus Wade to our national laws.
In their own words, Tammy Baldwin supports abortion rights while Eric Hovde opposes abortion rights.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500. Not authorized by a candidate or candidate's committee.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. IdeaFest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
We're not sure what's better, a win at Camp Randall Stadium or just hanging out at the farmer's market. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest, and my sidekick,
your favorite cousin Clyde.
Yes, I'm married to my cousin, so we over here living trifling. Okay, so
as we could be.
So we're just wrapping up on the conversation regarding interracial dating, black love. I think I won that conversation. I just want to
have it because I'm single, so okay. she knows more than I do.
Let's move into the conversation about one of our favorite persons that's running for office, Kamala Harris. Ooh, Vice President Kamala Harris. Did I say her name right?
You Kamala. Did. I'm happy I didn't have to say it. Kamala.
I've been practicing. Y'all better put the comma in the love. Okay. Yeah. All right, my girl, Kamala. So anyway, I know we'd be having this conversation about the legitimacy of her blackness, because we love to like take black women and then talk about like things about them, but then we have people that can infiltrate our race anytime that they don't even look black at all. Like, she got brown skin. Some of y'all out here giving white women in our own community, I ain't gonna say no names, talking about, well, I thought she was black. Since when? No. Since when? Yeah. Why could she go to the tanning booth and get Botox and got a butt job and a BLM
and put a few curls in her
and a few curls, and now y'all talking about she gets a invite to the barbecue?
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's them black men, but we ain't gonna get on y'all right now.
Okay.
So let's just stick to our conversation around Kamala. So Kamala has been showing up. I love her. I just love how she bounced back, and I just can't wait till she debate Trump. So there's this quick clip. So she's speaking in Detroit, right?
Mm-hmm.
On her campaign trail, and there's some hacklers, and she just comes, she just snaps back real black like. So let's go ahead and take a listen to this clip, and let me help y'all understand why it was so blackety black.
The hand.
Look, they hate in the background. She's sitting there looking all poised. She's so cute.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I love you. And then here come the haters.
I'm here because we believe in democracy.
Okay.
Everyone's
she's like,
voice
I'm here.
Matters,
y'all
but
voice
I am
matters.
Speaking now.
But I'm speaking now. I had to do that to a lot of white folks in my meetings. I'm speaking now.
That's. You know what? If you want Donald Trump to win, then say that. Otherwise, I'm speaking.
Okay. Then say that and move on. Okay. So. Come on now. Come on, Clyde. Let's break this down. Luke, you can turn off the clip. So the thing about her is that she didn't get mad, but she did get like that black woman auntie grandma energy, right? If you want Trump to win, that's cool, but I'm speaking now. Like, say that and move around.
And that's all you need to say, right? You don't need to boo me. You don't need to be naive. You don't need to be disrespectful. Just say we want Trump to win. And she's inviting that at her own event.
Right. Speak your truth and then shut the heck up.
Yeah,
right? Because you know why you here, but the disrespect is real. But I thought that was blackety black.
That
what
was.
Do you think?
I love it. Like, it's what we need, right? Mm-hmm. It's the American people is a mess.
Okay.
Like, let's be clear about that. And in 2024, we're ridiculous. So we need a president that is going to meet us right where we are.
Ridiculous?
Right?
She wasn't being ridiculous.
No,
though.
No, I'm saying we are.
Okay.
The American people, like, you at this person's event booing and all of that. That's kind of ridiculous, right? You didn't even have to show up.
Right.
But she knows how to deal with that as well.
Yeah.
Right? Versus Trump saying, punch that guy in the face. Being violent. Come on. He did that, right?
Trump got
that man punched out at his rally.
But I feel like
and
that's
we
what
still was like, let make him the president.
But I no, not we.
Well,
I think
American people.
Well, some American people are a little ignorant. However, I'm going to say this. I feel like white men, Luke, you let me know, because he's our white translator today.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know what you think. Because I feel like white men are bothered that they don't have the right in any longer. And they do on some, you know, spectrum.
In a lot of places.
But they don't have the right to just go and punch people in the face. So when they're given permission to be violent, and Trump gives them permission to be violent. Remember the storming of the Capitol?
Yeah.
And all the police that came from across the country to storm the Capitol, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like it's not about the politics. It's not even about morals or values. It's like little children wanting the right to harm people and get away with it. What's your thoughts, Luke?
Yeah, I mean, the way that Trump ran the first time, he told his supporters that if somebody came and protested at one of his rallies, that he'd pay the legal fees if they knock him out and stuff like that.
And they were excited.
And
they were doing
it. Folks that want to do stuff like, well, and I don't believe Donald Trump has ever paid for any legal fees or any of those altercations either, though. So it's kind of a lot of hot air around that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I I see a lot of folks that really welcome that spirit, and mm-hmm. it is disgusting mm-hmm. because they wanted that green light and somebody was giving it to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's even more disgusting when we have black men who support Trump. I was at the Mad Lit last Friday. I had a great time at mm-hmm. Mad Lit. For folks who are unclear or don't know Mad Lit, it's an event that takes place on State Street in Madison, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It's a music kind of fest. They had hip hop and R&B singers and spoken word. It was really, really nice.
Hosted by You Can.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Karen Pfeiffer, my girl. I love Karen. She's mm-hmm. a white woman. I told y'all I like white people. Yeah.
And that's her real name.
Yeah,
but
Karen,
that don't mean
yeah,
that
she
much
ain't
over
that. Yeah, she ain't that kind of Karen. You know what I'm saying? But we love Karen. And Rob Dees is also part of that. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Payne One and Rob Dees. We appreciate y'all. And again, you're tuned into 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show. So anyway, I was at this event, Mad Lit, and there was this black dude. Mm. And I'm about to say something that might be offensive, but he was dingy looking and he had this pink short set on with a jacket. And people who are looking, y'all probably know who he is now. I'm not saying his name, but I ain't scared. But this dude basically was like, Brandy, you know that I'm intelligent and I know that I'm going to vote for Trump because Trump donated millions of dollars to historical black and Kamala has never done anything for the black population or community but arrest us and jail us. And I'm like, you are going to vote for a man who wants to take away your daughter's rights and follow her to the doctor because they have this whole thing about mm-hmm. following kids to the doctor, to the OBGYN. You want to vote for a man that has no sense of humanity or poise or doesn't have, I don't know, he just doesn't represent, I don't know, humanness to me. He's like the anti-human person. He's not the person that has emotional intelligence. Like, he lacks the ability to not...
A man with Hitler characteristics.
Yeah, like, you want to vote for him and you think you're more safe under this white man than Kamala. Are they the same... wings to the same, are they a different wings to the same bird? Absolutely. The system is the system. However, what we have to start doing, in my opinion, is plan strategically. You have an opportunity to vote for and put in office, first of all, a woman, right? And mm-hmm. I don't care what people say, we are entering in return of the matriarchal power. And we can get into that, but y'all, we don't need to get into that mm-hmm. That history.
Not today. We will.
But it is the return of the matriarchal power. I mean, you can see it in our sports. You can see it everywhere. Like, black women, we're dominating. And not only that, you should want to support a different way, especially something that's not so disgusting as Trump. And yes, did she arrest people and jail people? Yeah, that was her job. Absolutely. Yeah. She did that. And did she make some mistakes along the way? Absolutely.
But
she
I
absolutely
think the,
did
the
that.
The real hate, especially from black men towards Kamala, is I just think that in some cases, black men hate women.
No, all men hate women.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the basics of patriarchy and misogyny.
But sometimes black men hate black women.
Oh,
is a real
not sometimes. It's, yeah. it's a lot yeah. of the time. Like, we represent for them.
Because there's no reason mm-hmm. for some of that outcry. And then to address you.
Yeah. But like, walking, because he walked up to me and he was like, "You blocked me off Facebook." You right, I did, because I'm not
you're
listening
crazy.
To stupidity on my feed. And then he wanted to continue to explain himself, and I was just ignoring him. And then he kept talking to people around me so that I could hear him. So I just had to like. I was joking and was like, I don't want to do like a Mortal Kombat and finish him right now, right? Because I'll be the
you
one
need
that
Secret Service.
Girl, because I'll
point.
Be the one that people video record and now I'm all on Facebook checking this dude
place.
And dragging him down the street. And then y'all like, I told y'all she was an aggressive black woman and can't be trusted. And look how she did that black man, right? Like, she just gonna do that to him. He deserved
I'm
to get done
because
in.
I could see Brandy doing this. And people rallying around her like, calm down, baby, calm down.
So I was just like, let me go ahead and mind my black
but that's
job
aggressive,
business.
And that's not right. It's not.
Anyway, we for Kamala around here. And moving on to politics, we are in Madison, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and our primaries are coming up for the Dane County, the state elections, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So who are you? Well, who
what
are
do
you
we got
voting
on
for?
The ballot?
Well, we got
Luke.
State Assembly on the ballot.
I think Luke got a list for us. What we got going on, Luke?
Yeah, so this August 13th primary,
August
Tuesday,
13th. August so get 13th. Y'all butts out and vote. Yep. If you can vote, please vote. Go mm-hmm. vote. Please vote. It's local. You have more power in local politics than you ever do when you vote for the president of the United States. So get your black up, your white And go vote. Okay, okay. Go ahead, Luke. Go
you
ahead.
You can say ass. Too.
You can say ass. Okay, look. He didn't censor me so much. Oh, I don't know God. What to say. Look.
We ain't cursing at all.
There we go. It's fine. We'll leave it in like that, though. But there are state assembly races around Dane County that are all contested since it is a more Democratic-leaning area. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is kind of the general election almost for these seats because there's a lot of Democrats running. Mm-hmm. And whoever wins these Democratic primaries are going to be more or less the likely winner come November because mm-hmm. of the districts do favor Democrats here in Dane County.
Oh, that's okay. Good to know.
So if you're looking to make, like you said, a large impact in who represents you come next year, now is the time to be looking at these races. So we got state assembly races, state senate races. We have a Dane County executive race. Mm-hmm. And there's two really important ballot initiative questions on
referendums.
The ballot. Yep. So there's two constitutional referendum questions that will change the Constitution. They're worded really, really strangely. It kind of acts like a checks and balance saying, well, the legislature should get a little bit more insight on how emergency funds are operated. Uh-huh. Mm. It goes back to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Republican lawmakers were really upset that Governor Tony Evers was the individual that got to disperse the federal funds from both Trump and from Biden, because uh-huh. both presidencies gave out emergency relief funds, uh-huh. mm-hmm. but Evers and the governor's office gets to disperse them. So they want to take that power away. Mm. There's a lot of interesting stuff that you can read about this.
So vote no.
There's an op-ed mm-hmm. over at civicmedia.us. You can check that out. Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign explains why he's voting no. You can learn about those, but those two questions will be on the ballot as well.
So vote no, because every time they put something on a referendum, they always word it in a very confusing way.
Yeah.
Right? And they always word it in a way that, you know, an average voter and a person doesn't understand the language. So we sometimes be like, oh, yeah, more power. Yeah, you should make sure the money is spent right, but it's an illusion. So yeah. Folks, make sure August 13th you go to your polling booth and you vote no. So I ain't gonna tell you who else. I'm gonna tell you what to vote for.
No,
okay?
No.
Yes,
no,
I
they
am.
Gotta,
yes,
they gotta
I
endure,
am.
They gotta pay for that.
You go. You vote no, and then let's talk about state assembly. So we got my girl Maya Pearson.
Miss P. Period.
And she's going against Sheila Stubbs, which is also a black woman in our community. Mm-hmm. She's been holding her seat for a long
time.
I don't know how many years, but long enough for her to get up.
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason I say that is because sometimes we get so, especially.
We get stuck.
No, it's, yeah. And then sometimes in Madison.
Not stuck, we get comfortable.
We're comfortable and yeah. we like to keep people in status quo. People yeah. who don't push the envelope. And I'm about to yeah. pee off some of our elders with this. But I think you should vote for Maya Pearson because she's innovative, she's young, she's part of the community, she's
yeah,
in the community.
Very much so a part
she's
of the community.
She's not rooted in the politics of whiteness, where Sheila Stubbs is. If you see a resolution for her and her whatever she, what are the things they write in state assembly? Resolutions
yeah.
and laws. She never wrote a law about black people, but she do write a lot of resolutions about our hair because that's easy. That's an mm-hmm. easy conversation, right? And it doesn't matter. So we need folks that are going to make resolutions
in community
and create laws that matter and directly impact us. Also, vote for Dana Pelamon for county exec, and the reason mm-hmm. being is because she has the management skills, the history. She's connected to all kind of communities, not just black communities, but she's been in Madison
Very
for
diverse.
Over 30 years doing the work of communities, doing the work of social
what
work.
What was her line? The community doesn't have to call me because I'm already
in the community.
All right.
Melissa Agar, she spent a lot of money. I know y'all love her. That lady hates my guts. I don't know why. She
Ooh.
Said, no, she told somebody that she doesn't like me because I ran against the revamping of the jail is spending $200 million and I made her mad. Like, girl, I am the community in the mm-hmm. sense of if you want to connect to the people you say you out to serve, you shouldn't be out
yeah.
here communicating. But anyway, forget you, Melissa Argard. Vote for Dana Pelabon because that's how we're rolling for
Clock
our local. Goodwill is running for in Sun Prairie State Assembly. Vote for that black man. He's a really good dude. He's out here doing positive things. And I don't know anybody else on the ballot, I don't think so. But listen, look up people, okay? And we'll be back in a minute. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson on 92 FM with my cousin
Clyde.
See you in a jiff.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
This fall, Wisconsin voters will cast critical votes for U.S. Senate, determining the direction of our state and nation on important issues. The ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants voters to make an informed decision in the U.S. Senate election. abortion is at stake in this election. On abortion rights, what have Senate candidates Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde said? Here's Eric Hovde.
I am a strong believer in pro-life. I am totally opposed to abortion.
And this interview.
Do you think Roe versus Wade should be overturned?
Yes.
Here's Tammy Baldwin.
I want women to decide.
And
I am pro-choice.
And
I lead the effort to restore Roe versus Wade to our national laws.
In their own words, Tammy Baldwin supports abortion rights while Eric Hovde opposes abortion rights.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500. Not authorized by a candidate or candidate's committee.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh, it's so soft coming in. I feel like taking a nap. Okay.
I thought that was the song. She was...
You're listening to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, with your girl Brandi Grayson and my
your
guy.
Your favorite cousin, Clyde.
Luke got us over here falling asleep like,
oh, is this the song? Do-do-do-do-do. Luke said, yeah, let's calm it down and get on up.
Because y'all need to wrap
here.
This song
okay.
up. Okay.
He ain't wrong.
So prior to break, we were talking about local elections. So get out and vote August 13th for the primaries. As Luke identified, this is a Democratic-leaning ballot, really. So whoever you vote for is super important.
If you're listening in Dane County.
In Dane County,
this is it's very similar, though. There's a lot of Republican areas around the state, too.
And yeah, the farmers.
You got contested Republican primaries there where those candidates will likely go on to win there.
Yeah, so... Vote black, trust black women, and vote no to the referendums. That's my conclusion on
that.
Let's move on to the Olympics. So anyway, I don't know if you guys have been watching the U.S. in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
We've been killing the game.
We have.
And I was just saying, it's the first, people known as black, you know, we question our commitment to America a lot of times, seeing that a lot of things are built on the back of black people along with racism, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So often I'm like, I'm moving to a different country. I'm about to get a new
no, for real.
Dual citizenship until the Olympics. And when the Olympics happen, I'm over here wearing an American flag. I'm watching the Olympics talking about USA.
Yeah.
USA.
I
love
so
my freedom. And can we talk about how many black people are in the Olympics and how many of us have won gold medals, silver medals, broken world records? I mean, and we're in every category, any categories that we thought black people would never be in, like, what'd you say, Clyde? Fencing.
We are breaking some records, some world records.
Black
in
people.
Fencing. Our sister over there, one second, I am getting her name. Her name is Lauren. She has won gold and silver, or just gold?
Because
I'm saying in fencing, gold and silver, but I don't
We won gold and silver. It was a U.S. match in the gold medal match, and so it was two fencers in the foil round because there's three different types of swords that you fence with.
Oh,
so there's
okay.
three different types.
There's different swords.
And
okay.
in the foil, it was US versus US. And so we won both the gold and the silver medal.
Oh, okay.
In the individual women's.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then because those two are so good, they also won the team for the women's foil.
Right.
And that was the first ever time that the women's team fencing for foil won a gold medal.
Oh, foil.
And
I don't even know what none of that
our
is.
Our good girl Simone Biles in gymnastics.
She killing
gold.
The game. She better.
Yep.
Y'all mad at her.
Then we got Jordan, who also won in gymnastics. I think Jordan was the one in the middle of the stand where all of the contestants were black
yeah,
women.
And they were all black women.
Yeah,
vote
yeah,
black,
yeah.
trust black, love black women.
Yes.
Vote black, trust black, love black women.
I love
vote
that.
Black, love black,
trust
black
women.
Black,
blackity black. I love that. Then we have Noah Lyles winning track and field. He won gold for track and field. So we just the fastest on earth. That's how
this is the thing about people known as black too. It's like, we, you know, growing up in the hood, we always hear things like, you don't, black people don't swim, black people don't golf, black people don't do hockey, black people this, black people that. And the funny part is that over the last 20 years, black people have entered all these sport arenas, and we
swimming
are
is one.
Killing it.
And we won silver in swimming. So
just a reminder to my people known as black that you are magnificent. You can accomplish any and everything. And don't let the social constructs of this world limit your ability to see your greatness. Amen.
Yes. Okay. And as I saying that, I see a lot of youth getting in gymnastics.
Oh, yes.
And at the Olympics, a guy by the name of Frederick Richard won bronze in gymnastics, who is a black man.
Mr. Richards.
That representation is so important as we see black youth getting into gymnastics. And,
just as a plug, my grandbaby Nala, who's in the
y'all can't see her.
Yeah, you can't see her, but
she on a media release.
Right. She's in a radio station. She does gymnastics and she loves to flip and all kind of stuff. And she's spectacular.
Yes. Yes.
I was mixing super and spectacular. Whatever. It's awesome.
And almost 10 years ago, you would not have ran in Madison. You would not have run into a black youth gymnastics 10 years ago.
Yeah, like, you're right. We didn't have the access, privilege, or resources.
Yep. So that's so important. Mm-hmm. I think we're also winning in rugby. Naya Taper and Ariana Ramsey won bronze.
Okay, the conclusion for Olympics is that black people are winning.
We are.
And we are representing U.S. like we always do in ways that you can't even comprehend because we the stuff. And then we had our basketball game yesterday in the Olympics and we killed it. They came back.
LeBron.
Did they come back? LeBron.
They won,
we won.
They were losing in the fourth quarter down by 13 and they came back. I think it's important. There's several black women leading the U.S. women's soccer team. They're
going
to be playing in the gold medal match this weekend.
Come on, y'all.
The women's basketball, I believe, is still in contention for gold.
Blacked out. And then you got your boy Jokic. What's his name, Luke?
Nikolai Jokic.
Nikolai Jokic. He's playing. He over there playing for his country. What's his country?
Serbia. That's who they beat.
Right, and he tried to beat us and come over.
He was doing a pretty good job.
I'm sure he was, and that's why it should be illegal for you to play in the NBA and then go back to your country to fight against us. Don't play with us.
Well, it don't matter because the U.S. have won so far 2,655 medals in the history of Summer Olympics.
Okay,
we ain't going nowhere.
I want to know what percentage is black earned. Okay,
I know, right? They don't say that.
We're gonna learn. We're gonna look into that
I
later.
I do know
what's
what
black earned.
What's gold? And 1,070 of those medals are gold.
Okay, USA, USA, USA.
So good job, USA. Like, we're so proud of you over here because we can't take no more L's. You know what I was thinking when I was watching this? I'm like, now if Russia ain't trying to want to go to war, I hope they're looking at the Olympics and realize we're some pretty strong people. We don't play.
That's why we need Kamala as president of the United States of America.
Okay.
Because if they won't be, if you put a black person in lead, and they ain't going to want no more. Okay, amen. They ain't going to want no more. Okay, anyway, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl Brandi Grayson and cousin
your favorite
Clyde.
Cousin Clyde.
All right, quickly, I want to tell y'all about some local events. Our Harvest Fest is coming up September 2nd. September 7th. Oh, my God. It's on a Saturday from 3 to 8 at the Farley Center, which is where our farm is located. Mm-hmm. Everything's free because you know how we like to give back to our community. Free wine, free beer. We will have shuttle service from our Park Street location to Verona because we don't want y'all drinking and driving. Yep. Okay? Free shuttle service. So check out our Facebook. If you have any questions, email us at info@urbantriage.org. We do need donations, money. We have no sponsors. I think we have one sponsor, and that's UW. Mm. And people, I was on Facebook the other day and someone says, you get all the corporate sponsors, y'all. We don't get sponsors. People don't even mess with us. I can't even keep a director of development who's in charge of getting sponsors because they be white and other and can't stand my black self. Okay,
but at this Harvest Fest, you should be coming in cowboy boots, jeans.
We're gonna have so much fun.
Cowboy cowgirl hat,
free food, jugglers, a magic show, cigarette break band from Milwaukee is coming
into
town.
I love
we have
them.
Airless, we have
performances,
everything.
Dance performances, singers, poets, all that good stuff.
And hit me up if you want to donate or be a sponsor. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM, and I'll check you out next Saturday. Brandi Grayson and
your favorite cousin Clyde.
Peace. We are out.
You're home for the
Devil's Advocates with Dom and Kroot. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I like your stories and your reporting. Great show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Hey, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.